Acts tape 44, Sheep Among Wolves.
Basic facts that really help us to understand the basic system of Rome. I think, as you know, at that time, Rome was the world power. It was the superpower. There was no other power. Everybody answered to Rome. And as far as the government was concerned, if you get these three steps of rule, I think it'll help you. Actually, they're in an order that surprised me. First of all, of course, is the emperor. He's on top. He's the top dog. And the emperor in those days, there was a family of Caesars, and they were the emperor. You couldn't get past them. Augustus and Tiberius and Claudius and Titus and all of those, that's the top. Under the Caesars were the governors, and we're going to meet two of them, Felix and Festus. Under them, the king. Now, you'd expect the king to be over a governor. I would. But not then. See, they set up kings over these little provinces. And so they had these little families of royalty. And the most famous of the king family were the Herods. And the Senate of Rome in 37 B.C., before Christ, set up this family to take care of the Jews, basically. And so Herod became the first king of the Jews. And they ruled for about 140 years. In fact, the Herod we're going to meet in chapter 25 and 26 is the last of the Herod family, the last of that king family. In the New Testament, let me just give you this one. We meet four Herods. So when you see Herod, don't just think it's all the same guy. We meet Herod the Great. I like to add the great monster. He was the first Herod, and he's the great monster. He was the one that killed all those babies when the Lord Jesus was born. And then Herod Antipas, his son, he's the Herod that's known for cutting off the head of John the Baptizer, and he's also the one that tried the Lord Jesus. Then there are two Herods in Acts. Herod Agrippa the First. We met him in chapter 12. He's the one that had James beheaded. And now we're going to come to Herod Agrippa the Second. And Herod Agrippa the Second is the one, of course, connected. He's the wolf that's connected with Paul. Now, because the Herods were Idumeans, they were considered half-Jews. Say, what's an Idumean? Well, it sounds a little like Edom. And it is. It comes from Idumeum, from Edom, from Esau. Jacob and Esau. And the Jacob was the Edom and Idumeans. And so he's descendant. The Herods were descendant from Esau. Now, even though they were considered Jews, the Jews didn't consider them Jews because of their connection with Rome. They didn't like Rome. They hated Rome. So they hated the Herods. Let me just stick to the two Herods in Acts. One in chapter 12, one in chapter 25. The one in 12 is Herod Agrippa the First. He had three kids. Two girls. Famous girls. Infamous girls. Bernice was one of the girls, and Drusilla was the other one. We see both of them here married. Drusilla was married to Felix, the governor. That wasn't his first wife. It wasn't her first husband. In fact, she never got divorced. She just left her first husband to go to him. They're living in an adulterous relationship. Paul's going to bring that up right to Felix's face. So Drusilla, that's one of the daughters. The other daughter is this Bernice, and she was a scoundrel as well. Here's what one of the historians said. Bernice, the one who found her place of infamy among the fallen women of the first century. Bernice was a runner-up. She was terrible. Evidently, she was a beautiful woman, but she had so many men. In fact, one of the emperors of Rome was Vespasius. She was with him for a while. His son was Titus. He's the one that destroyed Jerusalem, 70 A.D. She was with him for a while. And she kept going back to her brother, Agrippa the second. And she was living at this time with her brother in an incestual relationship. So you can see these are wolves. These are animals, and they're living like wolves, and they're living like animals. And so that's the path. Now, let's look at them one at a time in terms of the principles. I'm a lamb thrown among the wolves. You're a lamb thrown among the wolves. What can you expect as a prisoner of Christ in union with Him outside the camp? You can expect Tertullus to come into your life. And you can expect to meet a Felix or two with his wife Drusilla. And you can expect a Festus. And you can expect a Bernice connected with Agrippa the Second. Each of these contain principles on how the wolves treat the lamb. So let's look at them one at a time. Now, Tertullus the lawyer. I noticed when I said he was a lawyer, we had an outburst of laughter here. In our society, there's a group of jokes called lawyer jokes. You're probably familiar with some of the lawyer jokes. They're in the category of ethnic jokes and blonde jokes and all that kind of thing. I heard the main thing wrong with lawyer jokes is that lawyers don't think they're funny, and everybody else doesn't think they're jokes. And I think there's a reason for that. Usually, lawyer jokes are about outrageous fees that they charge, or else the corruption that they have when they malign the truth or stretch the truth, or about their ability to lie. Tertullus does not let us down as a lawyer. They say you can tell a lawyer when he's lying because his mouth is moving. Well, I would say that's true of all lawyers. I know a wonderful Christian lawyer, but it was true of Tertullus. His mouth was moving in chapter 25, 5 to 8, and he can't stop lying. I'm going to ask Dick if he'll read that.
Therefore, he said, let the influential men among you go there with me.
No, 24.
I'm sorry.
24, 5 to 8.
Sorry. For we have found this man a real pest, and a fellow who stirs up dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, and he even tried to desecrate the temple. And when we arrested him, and we wanted to judge him according to our own law, but Lysias, the commander, came along, and with much violence took him out of our hands, ordering his accusers to come before you. And by examining him yourself concerning all these matters, you will be able to ascertain the things of which we accuse him.
What happened was, when, you remember how Paul had been rescued and taken by night to Caesarea for safekeeping. He was being beaten up pretty badly in the street in Jerusalem. Well, now, there's a contingency of men that come from Jerusalem, and Ananias has brought his lawyer, Tertullus, and he's now going to be tried here before Felix. The lawyer starts off by flattering and fawning Felix. He's not trying to win the case, he's trying to win the judge, which we didn't read those verses, but you'll see that he's just a bunch of flatter. And then he proceeds to tell five lies. Lie number one is in verse 5. Paul is a pest. Well, that's too weak a word. That's our English word, pest. The Greek word is actually a plague. Paul is a plague, a troublemaker, a disruptor of the peace. Every time he shows up, there's trouble. That was not true. Lie number two. He's a man, verse 5 again, he's a man who stirs up dissension. Now, this was the most serious charge before the Roman governor, Felix, because this was a charge of sedition. He's an insurrectionist. He tries to get people to go up against the Roman government. He deliberately tries to cause riots, and he's trying to incite the Jews to rebel against Roman authority. That wasn't true. Lie number three, he's a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarene. You see that word sect, I don't know which translation you have, there's another translation that says heresy. And that was the charge, that he is not a Jew, he's a heretic and a ringleader and a militant ringleader. Very much of what's going on in the religious world today. This guy is a terrorist. He's a ringleader of this sect. This is the only charge Paul hath accepted. When he got to that, he said, they accused me of being a ringleader of the sect. It's not a sect. It's the way. And he calls his relationship with Christ the way. And he says, it's not a sect at all. It's not a heresy. It's the way. And it's the way of their fathers. They're the ones that have departed from the truth. Then lie number four, verse six, he tried to desecrate the temple. And they charge him with sacrilege. You see how there's a personal attack and a political attack and a religious attack. And finally, but lie number five, verse six and seven, he said, we wanted to judge him according to our law, but Lysias, the commander, came along and with much violence took him out of our hands. Do you remember the record? Do you remember the story? It's in Acts 21. We're not going to look at it, but it's verse 30 and 31. Paul was in the street and he was getting kicked to death. He was being pummeled. They were beating him up. And now the lawyer comes along and says, we were trying to try him by our law. And this commander came with all of his power and by violence took him out of our hands. The commander saved Paul's life. They weren't trying to try him in their court. They were killing him. They were murdering him. And so Tertullus is a big liar. And the governor knew it too. In chapter 24, verse 22.
But Felix, having a more exact knowledge about the way, put them off, saying, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will decide your case.
Paul knew he wasn't coming down. I mean, Felix knew that this commander wasn't coming down. But Felix is just trying to pamper the crowd. All right, I heard your side, Tertullus, and I've heard Paul's side. He knows Paul is innocent. He's not guilty of any of these charges. But to satisfy them, he says, you know, you charged the Roman commander. You said he did wrong. So we'll wait to hear from him. When he comes, we'll hear the case again. So he sends everybody away. And so Tertullus is the liar. The prisoner of Christ, here's what you can expect as a lamb among wolves. You can expect to have someone try to lie about your reputation. Try to destroy you. Satan, one way he attacks the message is by attacking the reputation of the messenger. He constantly goes after the one who is identified with Christ. If he can't cast doubt on the message, then he tries to mess up the messenger. And you'll see that over and over again. You're a believer in Christ? Expect to be misrepresented. Expect to be lied about. Expect someone to try to find a mar on your character, on your reputation, because it's going to happen. Now, next time we're going to look into how far can a Christian go in self-defense? Are we supposed to stand up against this guy? What happens when somebody lies about me? What am I supposed to do? Well, we're going to see how Paul meets with Felix and with Festus and with Agrippa and the part the Christian has in standing up to that. But right now, I just want you to see that Tertullus was revealing his attitude toward Jesus by revealing his attitude toward the one in whom Jesus was living. It wasn't Paul being rejected or lied about, it was Christ. And let me just give this story. I think you're familiar with it. Remember in Matthew 25, our Lord Jesus told that wonderful parable when all the nations had gathered before Him as goats and sheep, and He was going to separate the sheep from the goats and so on. And then in the judgment, He makes these comments. He said, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was naked, I was a stranger, I was sick, I was in prison. And you never fed me, you never helped me or visited me, and so on. They said, we don't remember. When were you ever hungry, thirsty, naked, sick, imprisoned? And He said, inasmuch as you did it unto the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. And then He did the same thing in reverse. And then they asked Him, we don't remember doing that. He said, did you do it to my brothers? Then you've done it unto me. Well, I understand many commentaries take that to mean that there's going to be a special judgment on the nation based on our attitude toward Israel. In other words, nations that are against Israel, that's the brother of Christ. And if a nation's against them, they'll be judged. I think that sort of ruins that parable. I don't think that's what He was talking about, whatever, about our attitude toward Israel. I think the word brother can be interpreted in Matthew 25 the same way it's interpreted in Matthew 12. The disciples came to Him and said, your family's outside, your mothers are here, your mother's here, your brothers are here. Jesus said, who is my brother? Who's my mother? Who's my sister? Remember the answer that He gave? He that does the will of my Father in heaven, he's my brother. The reason I call attention to this is because Tertullus was, on the outside, he was maligning Paul. But his attitude toward the servant of Christ reveals his attitude toward Christ. What you do toward those who do the will of my Father, you do toward me. And because Paul had Christ in him, when he was attacked, Tertullus was also attacking the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's point number one. You can count on it, I promise you, you're a believer, someone's going after your reputation. Someone's going after your good name. Someone's going after your character. Someone's going to lie about you. Someone's going to misrepresent you. If you haven't had that yet, get closer to Jesus. And you will. It's guaranteed. Let me just introduce this second wolf. We're not going to get as far as I thought we would. Second wolf is Felix and his wife Drusilla. I don't know if you've ever read the extra biblical accounts of some of these people. I have never read an account of a person more than, I'm lost in a sense, I can't get out of it. When I read the account of Felix, I thought I was reading the account of Saddam Hussein. I couldn't believe how alike they are. He was out destroying everybody who threatened him. He was out destroying his family. He was a nobody who had risen to the rank. Actually, at one time he was a slave, Felix. And he had come all the way from slavery now to become the governor in Rome. He was cruel. He was wicked. He was violent, unscrupulous. This man, I couldn't believe what I was reading about him. And now Paul is just taken as a lamb and thrown before Felix. Chapter 24, verses 24 and 25, please.
But some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, go away for the prison, and when I find time, I will summon you.
Now doesn't that sound like Felix is a great seeker of the Lord? Sought him out to hear about his faith in Christ. And did you notice what Paul talked about? Jesus said in John 16, when the Holy Spirit comes in your heart, through you He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, judgment. See, we don't talk about sin anymore. That's a bad word. Nobody mentions sin, because now, today, we don't have sin. We have hang-ups and mistakes, and we have weakness and inherited tendencies and faults and complexes, and we make errors and that kind of thing. But we don't talk about sin, because those people, they're not sinners, they're just immature and underprivileged. And they're being abused, and they're frightened, and they're sick. Not Paul. He went to the governor, this wicked guy that I said like Hussein, and he told him about his adultery, and he told him about sin and righteousness and judgment. Did you notice verse 25? You don't really see it in the English, but it says, he trembled. He trembled. Felix trembled. I have to marvel at the faithfulness of this prisoner. He didn't beat around the bush. He just told him about a hell that's coming and a judgment that's coming. And he went right up to the judge, looked him right between the eyes, and just told him the truth about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then he made this comment, verse 25, go away for the present. When I find time, I'll summon you. King James said, at a more convenient season. And Felix just said, this is very interesting. Of course, his conscience is bothering him. He's trembling. He's scared. He's been faced with his sin. He knows about the resurrection of Christ. He knows about judgments to come. Paul didn't hold anything back, gave him both barrels. And now he said, at a more convenient season. That's why I wrote that poem on the back there. If you get a chance, read that later on, pretty soon. More convenient season. Pretty soon just never comes. I read a story about Satan calling his demons from hell together. He said, we got to do something. There's too many people becoming Christians. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Demon 1 said, I got an idea. I have an idea. Let's tell them there's no God. And Satan said, that's not going to work. All I got to do is look at creation. There's God all over the place. They'll see that there's a God. Demon number 2 said, I know what we can do. Let's convince them there's no heaven. And Satan said, that's not going to work. Because it's in their heart. They know it. And when people die, you ever see a Christian die? That they know that there's a heaven. Another demon said, let's tell them there's no hell. And Satan said, that's not going to work. They got a conscience. They know that there's no hell. You can't tell them there's no God. You can't tell them there's no heaven. You can't tell them there's no hell. One demon put up his hand and said, let's tell them there's no hurry. Well, that's what he did. At a more convenient season. And people are putting it off and putting it off. Was Felix the seeker? Let's get ready to close this. Verse 26. Here's why he came, folks.
At the same time, too, he was hoping that money would be given him by Paul. Therefore, he also used to send for him quite often and converse with him.
Extortion. You know why Felix came up? To see what he could get out of him. To take advantage of him. Felix pretended, and Paul was faithful. He reminded me of that fig tree. Remember Jesus told us the story about the fig tree in Luke chapter 13? And the owner came and said, there's no fruit here, cut it down. And the vine owner said, can't you give it a little time? Give it a little more time. Dig up around it. Loosen the soil. Trim the roots. Put fertilizer on it. Give it a little more time. And remember what the vine owner said? Give it another year. Let it go through this year and another year, 2 years. The reason I think of that is because Festus had 2 years. 2 years. More fertilizer. He came for money. He came for Paul to see if he could buy him up. Paul had all these visitors. He knew there was Christians and they were gathering money and helping the poor. He knew there was money. And he kept saying, I'm interested in your faith. I'm interested in Christ. Tell me more about Jesus. And he kept gathering. But what he really wanted was the money. And for 2 years, Paul gave him a faithful witness. And then he was cut down. Later, Felix took his own life. Sad, sad ending. The point is this. You're a sheep among wolves. I promise you, you're going to meet Tertullus. Somebody's going to lie about you. And I promise you're going to meet Felix. Somebody who's going to drain you. They're coming to you all the time, and they're pretending they're interested, and all they want to do is get from you. They're going to take your time, they're going to take your money, they're going to take your energy, they're going to sap you, because you're a lamb among wolves. You're going to meet Tertullus, you're going to meet Felix. We don't have time now, but you're going to also meet Festus, and you're going to meet Agrippa, and you're going to meet Drusilla. And you're going to, we'll talk about that next time. And then, how do we deal with these people when they come? What is the Christian's attitude? What is harmless as a dove and wise as a serpent? Well, we'll look at those great principles. Well, we'll close that. Father, thank you for your word. We know, Lord, that it's not just wolves and a pack and a den that we are faced with, but it's fellowship with Christ outside the camp. Lord, help us never to take our eyes off the Lord Jesus, or we know we'll be torn to shreds. Teach us what it means to be the prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach us how to be free, how to rest in your sovereignty, how to fellowship with you outside the camp. We ask in Jesus' name. That's right. Yeah. The natural heart just wants to. It's that.